Okay, so this sheet is the four tetrads, or 16 stages of the Anapanasati practice. So what we'll do is we'll work through the tetrads one at a time. So we'll do the first tetrad today, then in 2 days we'll do contemplation of feelings, then 2 days after that contemplation of mind, and then contemplation of dharmas. And in this way we'll work systematically through the tetrads during the course of the retreat to build up a working practice of Anapanasati. And as I mentioned yesterday, what we're doing is becoming mindful of our experience. And our experience is made up of six sense bases: sight, sound, taste, touch, smell, mind, which in Buddhism we divide into body, sight, sound, taste, touch, smell, and mind. There's practical reasons for that, which will become evident as we develop the practice. But being a mindfulness practice directed by the Buddha, we look at our experience of the senses in a particular way, or through a particular lens, or from a particular point of view. So the way the Buddha does it, he divides it into body, feeling, vedana, and mind. And then once you establish mindfulness of a clear comprehension of body, feeling, and mind, then we view it through what's known as dharma, or we look at it through the lens of reality, as it were, described by the Buddha. So this is the process of the meditation practice. So the first thing is we begin with the body. Now there's a simple reason for that. The body is the basis of your experience. Yeah, the body is the repository of the sense basis. And as I mentioned yesterday afternoon, you are that by which there is a world in which you are. You as your senses are that by which there is a world in which you are. That's how it works. So we begin with the body. The body is the most stable aspect of your experience, probably, for most of us, for the overwhelming majority of us. The body changes, but slowly. If you look at feeling, if you look at mind, the changes within the context of vedana and within the context of mind are much quicker. Mind and vedana are generally, for most of us, more fickle, more unstable experience. So we begin with body. And in order to practice mindfulness, in order to practice Anapanasati, we have to transport the body to Padmaloka. And then we sit the body down in the shrine room in a particular position, so on and so forth. So the body is, as it were, the wide base of the foundation of our experience. So we begin there. That's where the Buddha breaks into this business of mindfulness, is with the body. And there's a chart on the wall there. I've got tools of trade, same as the Buddha had. I remember on the very first Tuscany I went on in 1981, we're having a question and answer with Sangharakshita, and we were going on and on about consciousness. And it just went on and on and on. And in the end he said, look, if you want to know what consciousness is, go and sit down the end of the garden for half a day and observe your consciousness. Yeah, it's exactly the same as what the Buddha had. So we effectively have the same equipment, if you like, as the Buddha. It's no different. But there are a couple of items that it's worth knowing about by way of helping us know what we're doing in the meditation. So I've written up there this three aspects, or three faculties, if you like. There's intention, attention, and reflexive awareness. So intention is quite difficult to define, really, but it's will, or where one's coming from. You know, it's intention's tied up with ethics. But in order to arrive here at Padmaloka, we need to intend to come here. So intending, one acts in a particular way. So it's not just one acts, but one also acts in a particular way. Intention flavours how one acts. So in order to come here to Padmaloka, to come on an Anapanasati retreat, you're acting in a particular way that brings into play ethical values, you know, psychology, various conditionings. But it's an impulse, it's an act of will. It comes from deep down. So, you know, intending, you act. So that intending to meditate, you go and sit down in the shrine room. So that's the first thing. You need the basic intention to act, to meditate, to at least try and be mindful. That's an intention. Then we have a faculty of attention. And it's quite important to be able to understand this. Attention is just a simple human faculty. Yeah, it comes with the package deal, with the sense basis. And it's a bit like a camera lens that can focus. It's a bit like the eyes that can concentrate on the foreground. The eyes, you know, have foreground and peripheral vision. So if I look at that vase on the table, that becomes the foreground. And everybody sitting around the walls becomes peripheral vision. You go to the background. But if I look at Nick over there, Nick comes to the foreground. And the vase goes to the background, becomes peripheral. And it's important to understand this, because sometimes we get ourselves in a tangle. If we're being mindful of the sense basis, for example, in the meditation exercise we did yesterday afternoon, where you were exhorted to become aware of sound. So you become aware of sound, that becomes that comes to the foreground of your awareness, because you place your attention, you intentionally place your attention upon the sensations of sound. But that means the other senses recede to the background, to the periphery, but they don't disappear. So that when we're practicing mindfulness, when we're practicing this meditation, there's always a background or periphery, and there's always a foreground. And it shifts depending upon what we choose to place our attention upon. So whatever you place your attention upon, that moves to the foreground, and everything else recedes to the background. So we have this capacity, a natural human capacity, to embrace both. So it's not a question of either or. It's a question of emphasis. We're emphasizing the object of attention that we choose to place our attention upon. It's quite helpful sometimes to understand that function. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. When you meditate, you're choosing to place your attention upon an object of concentration. It's as simple as that. And the human body, the sense package, it's a complex, interconnected sort of synergy of energy and events. So we're choosing to isolate a particular item, for example, sound, and place the attention there. But the rest of our experience will be in the periphery, and we can embrace them both and hold them both and balance. And when we're working with Anapanasati, we're working in this dynamic all the time between foreground and periphery. What's in the foreground, what's in the background. But we're holding them both. And this brings us to reflexive awareness. Reflexive awareness is the human capacity to be aware of oneself being aware. So we don't just experience sense experience directly. Although I have met human beings who seem to have very little capacity for reflexive awareness. But generally, for human beings, we have this capability to be aware of ourselves being aware. So we experience our senses, and we're aware of ourselves experiencing our senses. I mean, if you look at a little dog, for example, you know, like a little terrier or something like that, it will have a partial reflexive awareness. You know, it can bring a ball to your feet and drop it so that you can, you know, throw it and play a game. And it's probably capable of rudimentary emotions like affection and recognition. But it's still very reactive. It just sits there and reacts to what's happening around it. It has limited capacity for reflexive awareness. But human beings have a much more developed capacity for reflexive awareness. And this is essential to developing sati or mindfulness. And it is a faculty that we can develop. But reflexive awareness has the capacity to embrace a range of experience. So reflexive awareness can embrace both the foreground and the background, the conditioned, the unconditioned. It can be aware of itself and also, in a sense, that which is not itself. There's a certain point where develop reflexive awareness in terms of mindfulness goes beyond itself. But it's the essential platform or the essential tool to developing a broad-based mindfulness. And with meditation, it's the developed mindfulness that is the basis of the individual. It's the basis of the developed meditation practice. It arises out of mindfulness. With your meditation experience, it goes up and down all the time. It goes up and down. Then you have the big experience, and you think, boom, boom, this is it. And then that'll fade as well. The big experiences, whether they be insight with a capital I or insight with a small I, they tend to be like spring tides. You know, you'll get a build-up, and you'll get a peak tide, at which point, you know, poof, the big experience you can see for miles. And you think, boom, boom, done it. You know, this is it. Jump around the room, you know, pumping the air. But the tide goes out. It will change perception, but the tide goes out, and then the meditation starts going up and down, up and down, up and down. Then the big experience again. And that'll be your year by year, decade by decade experience of meditation. And if you're trying to base your meditation in the immediate experience, you won't have any stability in it. Where the stability comes from is a well-developed mindfulness that can embrace all of that experience and more. And then you start getting down to some stability, to some real stillness, real sukha, real peace, and that arises from that. But where you pick up the trail, so to speak, the beginning of the process is through developing this, or working through or with this human faculty of reflexive awareness. So the tools of trade are intention, attention, and reflexive awareness. So for immediate purposes, when we go into the shrine room and choose to practice and place our concentration on an object of meditation, we are using attention. We place our attention, we intentionally place our attention upon an object of concentration. It's as simple as that. That's all we're doing. But for most of us, because our capacity is not very well developed, we find it quite difficult to place our attention upon an object of meditation and maintain it. And this, in part, is the art of meditation. So we come to Anapanasati, to Kaya Nupasana, the first tetrad, contemplation of the body. And in a way, it's very simple. All we're doing in the first tetrad is a progression through setting up of mindfulness of breath and body to concentrated awareness of breath and body. Now, so occasionally when you sit down to meditate, you can be concentrated quite quickly and immediately. But generally, this is not the case. So when you sit down to meditate, you need to break in, as it were, to your experience somewhere. And where we do it, where the Buddha chooses to begin, is with mindfulness of the body and the breath. So in stage 1 and 2 of Anapanasati, the instruction is sensitive to a long breath I breathe in, sensitive to a long breath I breathe out. And in stage 2, sensitive to a short breath I breathe in, sensitive to a short breath I breathe out. So we're aware of whether we have a long breath or a short breath. And we're also aware of the body. Now, practically speaking, it doesn't quite work like this, because you may have a short breath or you may have a long breath. So if you're in stage 1, where you're sensitive to a long breath, but you've got a short breath, you've got a problem. But then if you're in stage 2 and you've got a long breath, and you should be sensitive to a short breath. And then you start trying to manipulate the breath, and that's not what we're trying to do. So for practical purposes, we run these first two stages together. So the first stage will just be a 20-minute stage, and you're sensitive to either a long breath or sensitive to a short breath. This is the idea. And you will. You'll notice. You'll be breathing either a short breath or a long breath. Normally, if your mind's agitated and you're not concentrated, you'll be breathing a short breath or a ragged breath or a controlled breath. It's like the ego's controlling the breath. So one tip is just to breathe out and stay breathed out, because the body will breathe in eventually in its own time. It's an automatic process. You don't have to worry about that one. You will breathe. So in stage one and two, we're simply setting up mindfulness, really. So we're becoming aware of the body, and we're becoming aware of the breath. And again, there's this dynamic between the foreground and the periphery, between body and breath. But mainly in the first two stages we place about 75% of our attention on the body, and then just anchor to the breath with about 25% of our focus. And we can do both at once, because the body is at worst in the foreground and the breath's sort of in the background of the periphery, and we can embrace both of those at the same time. And then we just progressively become more aware of both. So we just become aware of the body. And becoming aware of the sense base of touch is very helpful in this endeavour of becoming more aware of the body. You know, it's just a basic sort of body scan type thing that we're all familiar with. You know, where you just feel the weight and mass of your body, the bones, your posture, your sense of balance, you know, the head, the hands. So normally I just run a quick scan, you know, feet, hands, head. If you can be aware of your feet, hands and head, you're basically aware of more or less of your whole body. And generally there will be an aspect of your bodily experience that will be prominent. There might be a sore knee, or it might be just a bit scritchy and uncomfortable, or you can't quite get your head balanced right. There'll be something. Or you might be sitting there just feeling really comfortable and really pleased to be meditating, just to be sitting there. So you just become more aware of the body and the breath. And we're just setting up mindfulness. You know, it's a term that the Buddha uses a lot in the Pali Canon. He talks about monks setting up mindfulness. You go and sit under a tree on a sunny afternoon to enter into meditation, and you set up mindfulness. It's something you set up. So this is what we're doing in stage one and two. And then once we get mindfulness set up, we start to develop a bit more interest in the breath and the body. So interest, emotional engagement, fascination is really helpful in the process of meditation. It's very helpful if we can actually be interested in the body and interested in the breath and interested in the processes of the body and the breath. You know, with interest, there's natural concentration. And you can observe that in your experience. You know, if you're doing something that you enjoy, you'll naturally be concentrated and have loads of energy. It's amazing how much energy you can have when you're doing something you enjoy. You know, the saying, time flies when you're having fun. You know? It's because you're concentrated, energized, and absorbed in what you're doing. So interest is really important. And with interest comes effort. And the amount and quality of effort is the sort of effort required when hearing birdsong. You know, if you're walking down the lane here at Pamaloka in the spring and the birds are chirruping away in the trees, it's a natural, easy effort to listen to it. And there's an interest there as well. You will be interested. So we're trying to develop this quality of interest and effort in our meditation. So these first two stages, which in practice run together, the idea is that the body moves to the foreground while the breath occupies the background of our awareness. And, you know, as we've discussed, we can turn our attention to whatever is prominent in the body at the time, maintaining awareness of a long or short breath. So by employing mindfulness, we stabilize awareness of the body in a direct sensory way. And as we were working yesterday afternoon with the meditation exercise, we're trying to establish awareness of the body in a very direct way, experiencing the sensations of our senses. We're trying to get beyond thinking meditation. We're trying to get into direct experience of our sensations. Most of us are very careless about the amount and quality of attention that we give to our experience. It's often quite patchy, and there'll be two or three senses that we favour over the others. So we're trying to get a much more balanced and rounded experience and appreciation of our senses. And this is the body. But to begin with, one is simply trying to establish a good general awareness of body and breath. So stages of one and two, we're trying to establish a good general awareness of body and breath. That's all we're trying to do. So having established a good general awareness of body and breath, the focus then tends toward engagement with the characteristics of the breath. So towards the back end of stage one and two, if you like, having established mindfulness, having stabilized an awareness of the body, of the sensations of the body, the senses, anchored to the breath, having established a good general awareness of body and breath, we then tend to engage with the characteristics of the breath. So we just begin to note in a little bit more detail the location of the breath, just where in the body is the breath prominent, and then the duration, is the breath long or short, and the qualities of the breath. This can be quite interesting. Is the quality of the breath coarse or fine? Is it easy or restricted? Tight, loose, jagged, smooth? What is the texture and quality of the breath? So we do this in just quite a natural, easy, interested way. We establish mindfulness, we establish a good general awareness, and we become more interested in the detail of the breath. And you can also note, how the breath changes with awareness. You're aiming at the beginning, middle, and end of the breath. And a top tip here is to observe the movement of the breath while also observing the movement of the body. And there's an interesting thing happens. You notice if you breathe in, your solar plexus goes up. So the breath's going down, the solar plexus is coming up. It doesn't actually work like that. You feel like your stomach's moving, but the breath actually goes into the lungs. But anyway, when you're meditating, it feels as if this is coming up or the breath's going in. And then when the breath goes out, this goes down. So it is as if you can chase the tail of your breath. You watch the tail of your breath disappearing into your body, and your body expands and rises up. The solar plexus comes up. And when you breathe out, the solar plexus comes down and the tail of the breath goes out. So you get this sort of motion. And that can be quite helpful as an aid to concentration, because it's naturally quite interesting watching that. And it can give you a little anchor and focus the concentration. So has anyone got any queries or questions at this stage? Moving right along. So stage three is sensitive to the whole body I breathe in and sensitive to the whole body I breathe out. So on the back end of stage one or two, we've developed an awareness of the body and we started to pay more interest or take more interest in the breath. Moving into stage three, we become sensitive, much more sensitive to the body. So the body more moves to the foreground of awareness, anchored to the process of the breath. And normally a prominent aspect of bodily experience will present itself as a doorway to whole body awareness. So we can either scan at this stage or become aware of whatever is prominent in our physical experience. So we're moving from a broad general awareness of the body to a more specific sensitive awareness of the body while concentrating on the breath. And we're also becoming more sensitized to the breath. So in stage three, the body's in the foreground of our attention, of our awareness, anchored to the breath, of which we're becoming more sensitized to at the same time. And we begin to notice the effect that the breath has on the body, and also what effect mindfulness brings to the breath and the body. So you could say we're starting to tune in, you know, to the process of mindfulness and our experience of body and breath. So this is stage three. I mean, the breath generally is a good barometer to our mental states. If you've got ropey mental states, you'll have ropey breath. It'll be jagged or tense or irregular. If you've got an easy, long, smooth breath, you generally find your body's quite relaxed and calm. So the breath is a barometer to our mental states. And one of the things too is, you know, we're trying to look at and investigate the breath afresh, observing the qualities of the breath, but also observing the qualities of the body. Yeah, and this will come with interest, you know. We'll very much more enter into the present moment in terms of our experience and our observation. So what we're doing is we're integrating our awareness and experience around the breath. And at this stage it's based in the body. So stage four, we're exhorted, the instruction is calming the whole body I breathe in, calming the whole body I breathe out. So this implies an element of intention. It's as if we've established a broad general awareness of the body and the breath. We've sensitized ourselves to the body and the breath, taking more of an interest, an active fresh interest in our experience in the breath. And now in stage four, we're calming the whole body. Calming the whole body I breathe in, calming the whole body I breathe out. So there's this idea in the Buddhist teaching of determinations. Things determine other things. You know, for example, based on Vedana, based on emotion, based on thought, we think, we speak, we act. And as we act, so is the world we create. Those are determinations. So the breath, nutrient, is a body determination, for example. You know, without nutrient, without food, there's no body. So, but also the breath as a body determinant, in as much as the breath has the ability to calm or agitate the body. And here it's implying that as we're moving into a longer breath and a calmer breath, we begin to calm the body. And this process runs through Anapanasati. Calming the breath, we calm the body. Calming the body, we calm the breath. Calming body and breath, we calm feeling. Calming feeling, we calm the mind. And so there's this process of determination runs through the practice. So it's implied in stage four, an aspect of intention. In that, the instruction is calming the whole body I breathe in, calming the whole body I breathe out. So at this stage, we're beginning to cultivate the long breath. We allow the breath to lengthen and notice the effect that it has on the body. And we can begin to move much more to the fourth stage of the mindfulness of breathing type concentration here, where our attention begins to focus more at the point that the breath enters the body, which is generally somewhere in the vicinity of the nose and the top lip. But it's actually a physical sensation. Yeah, you can actually feel the breath touching the body as it moves in and out of the body. It's a very subtle, cool sensation. So you can see there's this general movement through the progression of the tetrad. So the first tetrad is a progression through setting up of mindfulness of breath and body to concentrated awareness of breath and body. So there's a movement. You know, we sit down, basically we're as rough as guts. You know, we're sitting there, the body's all agitated, the mind's all over the place. What do? Well, we start noticing if it's a short or long breath and start noticing what's prominent in terms of our body experience. That's where we place our attention. And there's this constant sort of movement between foreground and periphery, breath and body. As we stabilise our concentration, we become more sensitised and refined. We start taking an interest in the processes of the breath and the body. So we become sensitive to the body. Then we begin to calm the body. As the breath calms down, as our breath gets longer, we get more focused and concentrated. We have an ability to develop and cultivate the longer breath, which calms the body. Then our focus changes. We move from a broader awareness of body and breath to a more focused awareness of body and breath, as in the fourth stage of mindfulness of breathing, where we feel the breath, the physical sensation of the breath at the point the breath enters the body. And we allow the breath to naturally lengthen. We cultivate the breath, calming the body. And this brings us towards access concentration and the first dhyana. So as we get more concentrated, the object of concentration becomes more subtle, requiring a lighter touch. And this is something as well, you know, when you first sit down to meditate, you may find you're sort of blundering about the place, you know, knocking over china and not quite getting it right. We can be quite coarse and busy, you know, when we first sit down. But as we get concentrated, you find that you'll need a lighter touch. Your breath can get very slow. It can slow down to one or two breaths a minute, even less. And it gets very, very light and silky. And there's a subtlety and a beauty and a freshness comes with that. And you'll find that your busy thinking mind that we can never turn off recedes to the background of your experience, the periphery of your experience, and then central to your experience will be a sense of joy, tranquility, solidity. You can feel as if your foundation's going to the roots of the earth. You feel very poised and balanced, and you can sit for a long time in that place. And this is concentration. So as the breath changes, we become more concentrated. And one's concentration at the point of breath will be silkier, a more subtle sense of the breath will emerge. And this is known as nimitta. It's helpful to know this. Your breath will become quite silky, quite refined, very slow, very interesting. And there are various types of nimitta. So, you can do it consciously, or it can spontaneously arise. But it's a subtle object of concentration. An obvious nimitta one is, of an evening, look at a candle. Just look at a candle light, a candle flame for 15 minutes, and then go away and close your eyes, and you'll see the candle flame there. And you can concentrate on that. Well, the candle flame is a nimitta. It's a subtle aspect of a candle flame. So it's almost as if the coarse breath is superseded by a very, very fine, refined and silky breath. So that becomes your object of your concentration, and you'll find that you become much more refined, concentrated. Concentration comes easily, but concentration also has a very light touch. So this is the idea of nimitta. There's a whole big chapter or section of it in the Survey of Buddhism, if you want to look it up. And nimittas are used consciously. Sometimes you can visualize a dot, a white dot by your nose, and concentrate on that. You can consciously set them up, but if you get this flowing right, you'll find it spontaneously arises. So one integrates one's awareness and experience around the breath. We're engaging upon a process. It's a process of being mindful of our own experience. In reality, there is no such thing as the breath. There's actually just a conglomeration of sensations that one takes an active interest in, and one chooses to place one's attention at certain key points in these processes. So interest, emotional engagement, fascination is really important. If you can engage your interest, you're halfway there. And generally speaking, as human beings, we tend to engage with what we find pleasurable and of value. So if you can find a point of interest in this process of the breath and body, it's a considerable help and aid to your concentration. But having said that, as we work our way through the retreat, the results may not be what we expect. We're basically undergoing a process of integration and deepening awareness. And this can involve all sorts of highs and lows. Meditation and retreat may put us in touch with our particular form of dukkha. We have all sorts of coping mechanisms and evasion mechanisms in our day-to-day lives to take us away from our particular form of dukkha. Well, on this retreat, basically you're going to spend the next 2 weeks with yourself. And all sorts of things may arise. It's very hard to predict. And we've experienced on different occasions integration, harmony, happiness, joy, and others where we may experience the various forms of our particular dukkha. But for most of us, one of the problems with meditation is we don't go deep enough down into our experience. For most of us, we start trying to fiddle with things before we've really got down into a good depth of our experience. We'll start doing this and I'll start doing that, and I just need to read this book. I suddenly realise that I need to go on a fruit diet for the rest of the retreat and all the rest of it. But What we need to do is stay with our experience, with a positive humility and honesty. And there isn't anyone else here. There's just you and us. So whatever you're experiencing on this retreat is you. And that's what we go with. And what we're doing is we're exploring this practice. We're exploring our experience of body, feeling, and mind within the context of mindfulness with breathing. And we take the raw material of our experience and just go deeper with our awareness and deeper with our meditation practice. And on this retreat, there's a lot of time. You've got a lot of time. There's no rush. And even if you do rush, you won't get anywhere because there's so much time. So, you can try things out. I mean, in a way, there's no right or wrong way to do this. What we're trying to do is engage more deeply with our experience of body, feeling, and mind, which is our experience, and become more mindful of it, and trying to go deeper into our experience. So you can try something out for one or two sessions of meditation. And if it doesn't work out, well, you just go back to the technique. You've still got the rest of the day in front of you. And just see what works and doesn't work, and try and get a feel for your experience, for the meditation technique. And it's going to take a while. For most of us, we find that we need to do two or three of these retreats before we really start getting the hang of it, before it starts coming naturally to you in meditation. So, don't expect that, this is going to be all these results at once either. The idea is just relax into it and enjoy the silence and enjoy the space with which you can explore and develop your meditation practice. And try and keep it fresh. As there's the old saying, in the beginner's mind there are many possibilities, in the expert's there are none. We're trying to keep just that sort of positively naive, open attitude towards our meditation experience and just see where it goes. So that's basically it on the first stage. So it's nearly time to wake up. We'll have a cup of tea in a minute. Has anybody got any points or queries before we...
Thinking about posture, I sit regularly, but I'm not used to sitting for quite so many sessions, perhaps. So I think posture might be a problem for me. I don't know about others. Could get a chair, I guess. But.
Well, one thing people quite often do is alternate between a chair and sitting. And also, during the double meditations, we have a walking meditation in between as well. But it can help to alternate between a chair and
the calming the whole body part. I come across a thing where you use the breath to release tension, so like breathing out tension from the body, so sort of more active attitude to what you were saying. Do you think that that's useful or?
Yeah, I think it is, particularly as you work your way into the retreat, and you may find that, you've got a particularly stiff neck or something like that. So there's definitely something to be said for, turning to face whatever it is and breathing into it. But we just need to be careful that we don't start fiddling about prematurely. We need to balance this with going deeper into our experience. So the first thing is to become mindful of our experience. But yes, you may have a hip or a knee, and actually, breathing into that and observing it as sensation, and breathing, just allowing the tension to go out with the breath. That can be very helpful. I think the thing with all this stuff is, you know, we're trying to work intelligently and creatively with it. And just, you know, if you try something out, just be honest whether it works or not. And if it doesn't work, or you get lost or distracted or tangled up, just go back to the technique. But if you're doing something and it's working fine, well, you know, just run with it. See where it goes.